兄弟姊妹平安。
Brothers and sisters, peace.
所有的兄弟姊妹平安。
Brothers and sisters, peace.
昨晚在少年，等你甲少年兄弟姊妹，唱无够真够唱哦，等你教会真正咧声势咧进步。
We have a very good youth choir.
因讲到鱼。
They talked about a fish. A sang about a fish.
这个就是今仔日咱的信息。
And this is our message today.
现在咱要继续讲这个约拿书这卷册。
We are going to continue on the book of Jonah.
咱要讲伊第三章。
We are going to talk about chapter 3.
约拿第三章。
The book of Jonah, chapter 3.
等咱要开始，咱就说看运势过去咱所讲的。
Before we begin, let us review the past message.
是第一章呢，看到等上帝为临到约拿，伊叫一切约拿往尼尼微去。
The first chapter, we see how God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah rebelled against God. He refused to go to Nineveh. Because he hated the Ninevites. Because the Ninevites were murderers. They cut off people's head, hands, and feet. They would put holes on people's tongue and drag them around like animals. So when God ordered Jonah to go to Nineveh, he refused and boarded a ship from Tarshish going from Joppa going to Tarshish. He thought that by running away, he can hide from God. He didn't expect that God would catch him in the middle of the sea. God sent a huge storm and huge wave to break the ship. And so Jonah realized that he has nowhere else to go. And so he stopped. And when he stopped, God performed a miracle. When the men threw Jonah overboard, God sent a big fish to swallow Jonah. This is the story of chapter 1. In chapter
2,
what did Jonah do in the belly of the fish? He prayed. Where did he pray? He prayed in the belly of the fish. Why would he pray in the belly of the fish? Because he received God's rebuke. What kind of prayer did he pray? He prayed a prayer of repentance. In chapter 1, we see Jonah stopped running. In chapter 2, we see Jonah humbled himself and prayed. And in chapter 3, we will see how Jonah took the path of repentance. But before we begin, let us open our Bible to chapter 3. Please open your Bibles to chapter 3. And let us all stand up and bring honor to God's word. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. You may be seated. Some people do not want to believe the story of Jonah. Because they reason no one can survive in the belly of the fish without food, water, and sleep. Do you recall every time we have an earthquake and buildings would collapse? There would be survivors trapped in the rubble. And sometimes they would have to be there for 2 to 3 days before they will be rescued. They don't eat, they don't have water. So for 3 days and nights without food, water, and sleep, you could survive. Is it possible? But 3 days without fresh air, would you survive? Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and nights without food. Oxygen. And so the scientists argued that Jonah could not have survived in the belly of the fish. Scientists say that when you dip your finger in gastric acid for 3 hours, it will be bleached white. And in 4 hours, all your skin hair will disappear. And in 5 hours, your bone, your nails will dissolve. So Jonah could not have survived in the belly of the fish.
And
so they say that Jonah must have died and he only lived when the fish spit him out. Do you know why they think this way? Because if you see in Matthew chapter 12, when the Pharisees came to Jesus, and they challenged Jesus, prove to us that you are indeed the Son of God. Can you give us a sign that proves you are the Messiah? How did Jesus respond? But he, Jesus, answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And so the scientists and scholars argue that perhaps Jonah actually died in the belly of the fish, and he only lived when he was spit out by the fish and God resurrected him. Just like Jesus was resurrected after 3 days.
So
you may ask me, is God's miracle two things, that he preserved Jonah in the belly of the fish, or that he actually died and he was only resurrected after the fish spit him out. I want to tell you a secret. And this is just my personal opinion. You cannot tell anyone. If you really want to know, I'm going to tell you. I don't know. I really don't know whether he is dead in the belly of the fish. But I feel that this is not what's important. What's important is, is that after 3 days and three nights, Jonah was still alive. God is a God who performs miracles. He's all-powerful and He is capable. And His miracles are beyond our comprehension. The story of Jonah is a true story. Because the Bible records it. And not only that, Jesus himself mentioned the story of Jonah. He mentioned the story of Jonah. Proving that the story of Jonah is a true story. In the book of Jonah, chapter 3, you will find the story of God's love. Chapter 3 gives us a beautiful picture of how God deals with His children by His love. As His wayward children, do we have another chance to come back to God? Our first point in chapter 3 is we find that God gives Jonah a second chance. In verse 1, we see, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. We know that Jonah rebelled against God, and so he fell. Because of his sin, because of his failure, he fell into the belly of the fish. And maybe inside the belly of the fish, he was thinking, this is the end of me. He knew that he has nowhere else to go. He was not sure that he was going to live or die. And maybe in his heart he was thinking, God will never give me another chance. No more chance. How often are we like Jonah? Do you remember the time you drift away from God? When we walk the road of failure and want to do our own thing, when we commit sin, we don't want to come before God. Why? Because we feel ashamed. And we feel that we don't deserve to come before God. We don't want to read our Bible. We don't want to pray. We don't even want to talk about God. And we feel such a failure. And we feel that God will never give us another chance. But we are wrong. Because our God is a God who loves to give second chances. In the Bible, we see that God would give His people chance time and again. Let us look at Peter. Jesus' disciple Peter followed him for 3.5 years. Day and night, Peter would follow Jesus. Who Who would have thought that on the night of his betrayal, Peter would deny Jesus three times? In one night, Peter would deny Jesus three times. Did Jesus give him another chance? Yes, he did. The Bible says that on the day of his resurrection, outside his tomb, while he was talking to Mary, what did he tell Mary? He told Mary, go tell my disciples that I want to meet them in Galilee. Tell my disciples and Peter. No matter what wrong we have done, God will give us a second chance. Did God give Jonah a second chance? Yes, he did. How? God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, that great city. The city of Nineveh was first mentioned in chapter 1, verse 2. Referring to the great city of Nineveh with its greatness in sin. And this time in chapter 3, verse 2, Nineveh was mentioned in reference to its greatness in size. Because it's a great city. When the archaeologists dug out Nineveh, they were shocked. Because they did not expect that Nineveh was this great a city. Nineveh has two walls, an inner wall and an outer wall. Do you know how big the inner wall was? 6 miles wide, about 9.6 kilometers. It's just like from here to CCP. And that's just the inner wall. How wide was the outer wall? 60 miles wide in diameter, approximately 96 kilometers. It's from here to Laguna. Such a big outer wall. Do you know how high the walls were? You wouldn't be able to guess. 100 feet tall. 100 feet tall is like a 10-story building. Have you ever seen a wall 100 feet tall? Osama bin Laden's wall is about 18 feet. It's very tall. This is 100 feet tall. Do you know how wide the walls were? Three chariots running side by side can run through the wall. Such a big city. And this city can contain about 600,000 to 1 million people. God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh to do what? To spread his message. The first time God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh, he rebelled against God.
And
the second time God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh, the commandment remains the same. The first time was to go to Nineveh to spread this message.
And
similarly, the second time is to go to Nineveh and spread his message. So we see that God's plan never changed. And especially talking about his master plan, it doesn't change from eternal past to eternal future. Because from ancient times to our eternal future, his plans has already been made. God did not compromise with Jonah. He didn't say, "Well, Jonah, I know that you don't like the
Ninevites."
I'm sorry, but okay, I will not lead. I will not ask you to go to Nineveh, but just go to a place and spread my message. He did not say that.
Iya bukang yok na kong yok na guwatanya di agi sa nini bilang abo di kihaw di ang tinang sa uya sa sige kating ang intuahok
im. He didn't say, "Well, Jonah, I know that you don't like the Ninevites, so why don't you just go there and spread the message to just one, two, or three people?"
Tang siyong te wegu te di mai dim kao yok na iye kihaw iwan si siyo sang.
When the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, his word and his commandment remains the same. He only invited Jonah to join in his plan. And when God invited Jonah to God's plan, what did Jonah do? So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Jonah obeyed God. So God not only gave Jonah a second chance, we also see that God gave the Ninevites a second chance. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. So what did Jonah do the first day he arrived in Nineveh? The first day he spread the news. He spread God's message. And what is this message? 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown.
40 more days Nineveh will be overthrown.
In the English language, 8 words. And in the Chinese language, there are only also 8 words. But in the Hebrew language, there are only 5 words. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. Only 5 words. This is the shortest message in the Bible. And what does this message tell us? Put simply, 40 days more and you will die. This message is a message of wrath. This is a message of punishment. I believe that while Jonah was spreading this message, in his heart he was probably glad because he hated the Ninevites. So probably in his mind he was thinking, 40 days more and you will die. Or 40 days more and you're going to hell. I believe that Jonah was not really focused while he was saying this message. Who would listen to a 5-word message? Who would listen to a man who keeps repeating the same message over and over again? Would the Ninevites listen to Jonah? You have to recall that the Ninevites also hated the Israelites. Why would they listen to Jonah? Jonah didn't bring with him a nice sound system like our church. No. But the Ninevites listened to Jonah's message. Do you want to know why they listened to Jonah? Because Jonah himself was the message.
Di siyong ba?
Think about this.
Yokna sadit saam zimti hiye uiseng ni.
Jonah was inside the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights.
Ikuising thot pek hilo.
His whole body was bleached white.
Yeso we meng long zong lak ka diao.
All his skin hair were dissolved.
Bo lun si thao meng bak bai chui chiu chiu meng so we meng long lak ka diao.
He has no hair, no eyebrows, no beard, no skin hair.
Yesa kam sai si phua phua lo.
His clothes must be tattered.
Teng wai teng yok na le eng ni ni bi na kya na diam o dar wai nyam ve ni ni ve ne pa he teng na diam ani si chun.
And as he was walking around Nineveh saying 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown.
Long tong ni ni bi lang le chu yi.
The Ninevites were looking at him.
Kam sai ne shu. Zi ge lang sim si dan pa si yi xie de lang ki jiong zi ge lang wei.
Or maybe they are thinking, could he be one of the Israelites that we killed? Because he looks like somebody who came from the dead. He looks like a zombie, a ghost. And so they might be thinking, if we don't repent, God will punish us like he punished this man. And in 40 more days, we will be dead. So what does this message mean? In 40 days, you will have an opportunity to repent. In 40 days, you will have an opportunity to prepare. In 40 days, you will have an opportunity to experience God. So when Jonah spread this message to the Ninevites, what did the Bible say? And in verse 5, it says, the people of Nineveh believed God. This word believe in the original language is aman. And this is the same word that appeared in Genesis. When God revealed his plan and promises to Abraham, Abraham, aman, believed. And so God credited it to Abraham as righteousness.
So, did he believe Aman? What does it
mean? So, what does this word Aman mean?
Being sincere, believing God's promise,
English. It's by faith believing in the promises of God. God commanded Jonah to go to the Ninevites and give them another chance. If they believe, they have a second chance. So the Ninevites believed. The Ninevites believed. But what kind of belief? Is it just a lip service of belief? Or a head knowledge of belief? They truly believed. Because true belief carries with it an outward action. In verse 5 to 9, it says, the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. They admitted their mistake. In fact, when the word reached the king of Nineveh, what did he do? He arose from his throne and removed his robe. Covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. In ancient biblical times, when a man is in extreme sorrow, he does these things. Do you remember Job?
When Job
When Job received the news that he lost all his children, and he lost all his possessions, what did the Bible say? He arose and tore his robe, shaved his head, and sprinkled dust over his head to show that he humbles himself, to show that he is in extreme sorrow.
兄弟姐妹,
brothers and sisters, repentance is this way.
悔改需要我们不但停下来,
repentance requires us not only to stop running from God,
悔改不但需要我们,
repentance not only requires us to humble before God and confess our sin,
悔改需要我们这个行为来表现我们像是立志要悔改。
Repentance requires us to show from our outward actions a resolve to repent.
所以你比人有立志要悔改不?
Did the Ninevites resolve to repent?
他们相信要悔改?
Do they really want to repent?
有呢?
Yes.
甚至在第七节八节的答案说, 王下了命令说没有半个人的情绪, 有牛肉牛筋就算会做吃喝饮水，叫每一个人甲精神拢抹掉，拢穿了抹布，叫因隆重就大声求救上帝，回头离开呢，派落甲因手所做强迫，谦卑上帝万岁，伊会大受气，何咱无灭亡哀哭。
Verse 7 to 9, he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. The Ninevites turned from their evil ways. They stopped. And they changed.
兄弟姐妹,
brothers and sisters, when we turn from our evil ways, God will give us a second chance.
甚至在第十节看到, 上帝这些后悔无从他所讲的灾厄降落了。
We see in verse 10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that He said He would do to them, and He did not do it.
兄弟姐妹，咱的上帝是喜爱赐予人机会的上帝。Brothers
and sisters, our God is a God who loves to give us second chances.
不是喜爱鞭打人的上帝。
He's not a God who enjoys punishing us. Time and again, He would give us a second chance. As parents, when our children are wayward and they keep doing mistakes, as parents, do we not give them a chance time and again? And our God has greater love than us parents. His love is divine and complete. And time and again, He would give us a second chance. And this is the story of Jonah, chapter
3.
What lessons can we learn from Jonah, chapter
3?
There are many lessons. But I only want to share with you one thing. God not only gave Jonah a second chance, He not only gave the Ninevites a second chance, but He gives you and I and everyone a second chance. But we must bring a heart of humility and confess our sins before God. If we refuse to confess our sins, what is there to forgive? How can God forgive us?
If you don't confess your sins,
God will If you don't confess any sins, what sin will God forgive? If you are proud, how can God give you a second chance? Many people cannot have the second chance because of this reason. Because in their mind, they keep blaming others. They keep blaming other people. They're not accepting of their mistakes. And so they keep blaming other people. Not only that, they keep complaining. Why is this happening to me? Why is this problem with me and not to other people? Brothers and sisters, let us humble ourselves and confess our sins before God so that God may be able to forgive us. Because after receiving forgiveness, that's the time we can move forward. If our sins don't receive forgiveness, how can we move forward? That's impossible. Because we will be imprisoned by our past. And that's why many people live through their past. Because of that, many people are imprisoned by their past sins. The Bible tells us to confess our sins so that we can move forward. Paul in Philippians chapter 3:13. Philippians chapter 3 verse 13, Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." What does it mean to forget our past? Is it to forget the sins we committed in the past? Not so. Because our past sins may carry with it consequences. We have to carry the consequences. But we don't get imprisoned by our past. But move forward. Why do we have to move forward? Because in front of us is God's blessing. The second chance that God is offering us is right in front of us. If you don't move forward, how can you experience God's love? If you don't want to move forward, how can you experience the second chance God is giving you? If you don't move forward, how can you experience the new beginning God is offering you? It's just impossible.
The Room.
Lately, I read a story, The Room. This is written by a pastor named Joshua Harris.
Joshua Harris is a very big church, CLC.
He was a pastor of a big church. And this story goes like this. He had a dream. And in this dream, there was a room. There was nothing special about the room, only four walls. And in each of the walls, there were pieces of paper attached to it. And above the pieces of paper, there were headers that said the books that he has read, the conversations he had. And he found it interesting. Because everything that he did, everything that he said, were all recorded in the pieces of paper. Very exact. And so he continued reading until the last wall. And as he looked up, he saw adulterous thoughts. And when he saw it, he started to having cold sweats. Remember, he was a pastor of a big church. And as he was reading through his adulterous thoughts, he felt his blood rushing out of his face. And he almost wanted to faint. And he read through it until he finished. And as he read, one thing always comes out from his mind. No one has to read this. No one has to know the adulterous thoughts I committed. Because he is a pastor. What would people react when they found out? Could he have another chance to serve? Would God forgive him? Would he still be able to be a pastor? And so he used all his might to tear the paper apart. But no matter how strong he tried to tear it apart, he couldn't. The paper was like steel. And finally, he fell on the floor and cried. He said, "This is the end of me." When people know about this, how can I face them? And as he was crying, he noticed another person reading the papers. And he realized that it was Jesus Christ. And realizing that it was Jesus Christ, he covered his face with his hands and fell on the floor. This is the end of me. After some time, he looked up again and to see what Jesus was doing. And he saw Jesus signing his name using his blood as ink. And Jesus signed his name on all the papers. And after signing, he kept all the papers in his pocket. And he approached Joshua and led him up. Lifted him up and led him to another room. The room was a same room. Similar room. It was a similar room with four walls. But this time the papers were empty. And Jesus said to Joshua, "Your past sins, your past failures, the past sins that you have committed have been forgiven. And now your life has a new beginning. It's still empty. Please live it well. Because I'm giving you another chance. I'm giving you a new beginning. Would you live it well?"
Finally,
let me ask you a question. Are there people among us who have drifted away from God for so long? Maybe you might be thinking, "I have committed so many sins, God will never forgive me."
伊是咧想奸淫的思想，我是犯奸淫的人。
If he is thinking adulterous thoughts, I have committed adultery. God will never forgive me. Brothers and sisters, if you think this way, think about the Ninevites. I believe that in those times, the Ninevites were the most evil people on earth. There were murderers and they go against God's people. And if God would give the Ninevites a second chance, He would give you a second chance. God wants to give you a new life. Don't be imprisoned by our past. But move forward. Because in front of us is God's blessing. He is giving it to you. He is giving it to us. He is giving it to each and every one of us. In this, the story of the prodigal son, when the prodigal son was coming home, the father was looking from afar, waiting for him. When he saw the prodigal son, what did the father do? He ran and met his son halfway. And what did he do to his son? Did he scold him? He didn't say a word, but hugged him. Hugged him with his arms. Son, you have come home. Brothers and sisters, our God is waiting for us. Do you want to come home? Today He is asking you. Just like the Father who is waiting for the Son. Are you coming home? Son, are you coming home? Don't run. Because I've been waiting for you for so long. Come home. Come home. Come home. Because I'm going to give you a new beginning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being our all-powerful God, yet at the same time, you are also our loving God, willing to forgive us, and give us new beginnings and new life, if only we will humble ourselves, confess our sins, and receive the second chance you are offering us. Help us, O Lord, not to be imprisoned by our past failures and live by our past or even our successes, but help us to move forward and live our lives well. Mm-hmm. We want to come home, O God. Help us to come home into your loving arms. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.